Hello and welcome this week to Talking Flutes Extra with me, Jean-Paul Wright. This week is the first in a series of pods about our mental health and our mental awareness. I put out a few weeks ago some suggestions to our podcast and also social media audience about getting a psychologist in and what questions would they like addressed in short, bite-sized pods, not sort of long-hour ones as I'm used to doing. And you've come up trumps. So this week, I am very pleased to welcome Dr. Beth Wright, a flute player and forensic psychologist. We won't get through all the questions and we'll probably have to break this down into separate pods, but to speak about areas which you find really interesting, fascinating, and want to help with. So welcome this week, Beth. Hello, Beth.
Hi.
Little disclaimer, Beth is indeed a flute player and forensic psychologist, but she's also my daughter, and I've managed to persuade her to come on to answer or begin to answer so many questions that have come in that are beyond my pay grade. Are you ready this week, Beth?
I will do my best.
Can we talk initially about the subject of procrastination? I've been guilty of this all my life with regards to flute study and flute performance. And I mean by this is going to a flute lesson or going to a flute performance and knowing that I have to do X prep. And I know I have a time scale between when that is set, it could be in a lesson or it could be a performance date, and when I have to either go back to the lesson or do the performance or the exam. But, and the big but is, I've never used to chunk my study performances. I used to try and cram everything in and think of better things to do. So how can we define procrastination?
So I think procrastination is something we're all guilty of. I think anyone that says they've never procrastinated before is, well, lying. Procrastination, I would define as voluntary inaction. So it's something that we are aware of, that we're aware that we're not doing, but it's a choice that we make not to do something, not to act, but whilst knowing the consequences of not acting. And we often know that the consequences are usually negative. We never really benefit from procrastination. It can kind of invoke a lot of feelings of not enoughness, not being good enough, not, you know, why did I kind of put that to the side and leave that to the last minute? But yeah, I would define it simply as sort of voluntary inaction.
See, I get that, but I don't feel guilty or I don't feel as though I've got an issue until suddenly a couple of days before I've got to do it. And then all of a sudden panic sets in and I don't realise, or sometimes I don't realise I've been procrastinating. I've just been going down the easy route of things that are easy. Mm-hmm. What is the triggers for procrastination? If we have a date of A to B, what is that trigger that we should be aware of? We're actually procrastinating and we need to sort of destroy that.
I think first it's important to acknowledge that, you know, sometimes procrastination can feel good. You know, it feels good not to do the thing that we were meant to be doing because we've you know, connected with something else that, you know, has filled our time. It doesn't feel good the day before or the hour before where we think, oh my goodness, I've got all of this to do. Why did I not just do that thing or prep for that thing days or weeks before? I would have been so much more prepared and less stressed. But it can feel good in the short term. And that's the problem with procrastination. It does feel good in the short term, particularly when we're replacing it with something that we enjoy or something else that is taking precedence. But long term, we feel that sort of acute stress, that acute, oh my God, you know, what am I going to do? I've got no time to do this now. And coming on to your point about triggers, what actually triggers procrastination? And this will be different for everybody. There's a different root cause for procrastination for everybody, and it will be different depending on the task. But there are lots of different reasons that we might procrastinate. That might be perfectionism. If we're a perfectionist, we're hoping that everything we put our time and effort into needs to be flawless. It needs to be flawless work. And that's simply not possible. And so what do we do if there's an impossibility of that, or we just don't do it at all? Because as a perfectionist, if I can't perform perfectly, I might as well not perform at all. Then I've not performed something imperfectly. I've not completed a task imperfectly. So for perfectionists, it can be comforting to avoid because you're avoiding that sense of potentially producing something that's not flawless, that's not perfect. So perfectionism is certainly one root cause or one trigger. Another kind of root cause or trigger is intrinsic motivation. Do I find meaning and purpose in the thing that I should be doing, should be planning to do? And that's a really important question that I think we should ask ourselves when we're procrastinating is this thing important to me? And, you know, most of the time it's probably yes. That's why we've agreed to do it. That's why we are, you know, we want to do it, but might find it tricky. But on occasion, that answer might be no. So, yeah, so look at intrinsic motivation and meaning and purpose. Do I find that or have that within that kind of task or activity? Feeling of not enoughness and self-esteem, that can be a really important one that impacts on, yeah, our procrastination and whether we choose to get stuck into a task or whether we choose to put it on the back burner. And if we feel like we're not good enough or that we can't execute something well or that we worry that we won't be enough, that's going to be that sort of overriding, you know, cognitive belief or thought that it's going to be the reason why we don't do something, right? That's so powerful. That thought is so powerful that can stop us from doing something important. Those are a couple of kind of ideas of what might trigger procrastination or what might be the sort of root cause of it.
So we all have intrinsic motivation. I get that. So you know that you've got to practice for X. Mm-hmm. You know you have an exam coming up. You know you have a performance. You know you have an audition coming up. So we all know we've got to do it. Why, you've said why we sort of sometimes hide away from having to do something. How can we begin to break down the barriers that procrastination brings, but also causes the outcomes, which I would imagine with procrastination very rarely leads to joy at the end of the day?
So I want to pick up on something you said there, which I think is important, which is your wording around we practice for X amount of hours, we must do this preparation. And already there's an expectation. There's a bar set there that I have to do this thing or else. And I think expectation plays into procrastination massively, or plays into our sense of self-worth and self-esteem. And, you know, it's the should-haves, would-have, could-haves language that can hold us back. I should have done that, or I could have, you know, achieved that. And that language it's actually unhelpful. It doesn't get us anywhere. But when we set expectations, or when we say, I need to be practicing this amount to be this, you know, this good at flute playing or performance, I need to be this much prepared or this well prepared to perform well, we are setting ourselves up ultimately for either letting ourselves down or not meeting those expectations. And what does expectations do? I mean, they can be helpful. They can push us. They can push that intrinsic motivation. They can keep us on a structure. They can keep us progressing. But also, if those expectations are too high or too much, or we can't reach those, it's going to tap into that sort of sense of low self-worth, low self-esteem, and we're not going to feel good enough. And ultimately, as you said, we're going to have negative outcomes. We're not going to perform our best. So I think that's a really important thing to consider when you're thinking about preparing for something important, whether that's a performance, whether that's an exam, whether that's anything in this kind of field, is what are my expectations and what have I subconsciously and consciously placed on myself expectation-wise that may be pushing me through and empowering me, but also impeding me on the other side of the coin.
Can I just pick up on that word expectations? Because I think most of us have expectations of something. We go to a concert, we're expecting something, whether it be joy or looking forward to a certain amount of music. When we put expectations on ourselves or others apply expectations to us, can there ever be truly a positive outcome because of the weight of something that has been placed either by us or by an external factor?
I think it depends on, it's a good question. I think it depends on what that person's expecting or what you're expecting of yourself and what that metric is. How is that being measured? So if you go into a performance or something that is important to you, an exam, and the expectation is, I need to perform this perfectly. Okay, that expectation is a dangerous one, right? Mm-hmm. That's not to say that you won't perform it perfectly, but you either will or you won't. And there's a quite high chance that by your standards or by anyone's standards, it wasn't perfect. Mm-hmm. But if the expectation is going in, I want to do my best, I want to enjoy this, And I want to connect with what I'm doing on a personal level. I want to feel connected with what I'm doing. I want to feel, you know, connected with the emotion. I want to connect with the song that I'm about to play. I want to connect with the audience. You're much more likely to find purpose and meaning and feel more able and comfortable to achieve that. That might not say, you know, that might not happen always. You might not always meet that expectation, but I do think in a sense expectation or goals, I would call it goals. Goals are important. What am I hoping for from this? But expectation sets a standard that, again, can be dangerous. And if not met, like I said, can tap into that sense of self-worth.
So expectation in itself can cause procrastination.
It can cause procrastination. Yeah, certainly. I mean, they do often come hand in hand because, you know, often there's an expectation that something has to be perfect or something. If it's not perfect, then I'm not good enough. So they're not always sort of totally interlinked, but they certainly do come up a fair bit together.
So without delving too deeply into psychological aspects of how to overcome procrastination, is there a very simple way that we can, given a task, whether by somebody else or by ourselves, that we could begin the process of de-procrastinating? No such word, but, you know, not procrastinating over something. Is there something really simple that we can address?
I would say the first step is self-awareness. Notice that you're doing it. You don't know that you're doing it and it's an unconscious sort of, you're just doing something else. Well, how are you going to fix it? How are you going to change that behavior, change that way of thinking, change that process? So self-awareness. Oh gosh, I'm finding myself procrastinating today. Oh, interesting. Okay. I've named it. It almost takes the sting out of it. It takes the power out of it if we name it. I mean, this is just to full disclosure, this is coming from a chronic procrastinator. Whilst I was doing my doctorate, I unfortunately, gosh, I can't believe I'm even saying this, I think I wrote my whole thesis nocturnally, overnight, the day before every part, every chapter was due. I was writing. So I don't know whether that means that I lose credibility or whether I'm...
I think it's more important that you understand procrastination. And as you said, if we're honest about ourselves and we know we're procrastinators, if we are very self-aware when it starts and we're going down the easy route... I do it every day. I will always start with the easy things because I like to know that all that stuff's done. And if I can push something else easy in, I will, pushing away something. So I think you're exactly right. If we can become very self-aware when we begin in the process of procrastination, go back to what we've got to do, think about the outcome, but don't put too many bells and whistles on it. As you say, try and aim to always be doing your best. We're going to be talking about judgments and value judgments in another episode. And just begin this chunking process of being self-aware, making sure that even if you're writing down, you're journaling from A to B and you're just doing small steps, surely that will be an add-in benefit to slowing down the process of procrastination.
Yeah, so definitely self-awareness. I think also this doesn't work for everybody, but I think doing the most difficult task first. We like to just get all the easy tasks out of the way. And yes, it makes us feel good because we tick lots off our list.
Absolutely.
But that thing that we've pushed away or delayed weeks and weeks and weeks, it's still there. It's like the, you know, it's the elephant in the room that's like just watching you do everything else but completing that task. So try and do the most difficult task first. That can work for somebody. But also try not to place meaning on procrastination about who you are because of that. Just because you procrastinate doesn't mean that you're not good enough or that you're never going to do it or that you're a bad person. But I think recognising the consequences of procrastination can help you kind of kick up the butt. What are the consequences of me not doing this today? What is the consequences of me doing this an hour before it's due, this practice? Or I'm going to be stressed as hell. I'm going to be more anxious. I'm not going to have a good time. I'm not going to enjoy the process. And it is about enjoying the process rather than the outcome. Often with procrastination, we're always focused on the outcome. What have I got to complete? What is the end goal? If I just focus on the next thing, the process, what have I got to do? What's the first step? And as you said, breaking it down. What's the next step? I'm just going to do some scales. That's all I'm going to do. And as soon as you pick up that flute, you'll probably find that you will do more than scales. You'll warm up and then maybe you'll run through the song or the performance once. But it's getting started that often is the most difficult part.
And honesty. Honesty with yourself. Because we can hide behind many things. I found it too hard. I didn't have enough time. I was too stressed. actually being honest with ourselves and understanding it's our procrastination that has caused a potential outcome that wasn't as we wanted or expected.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, you've named some really important other reasons why we might procrastinate, you know, the complexity of the task that we've got. Mm. It's too hard. It's going to take too much time. We've all kidded, you know, we've all used those kind of, I don't want to label them as excuses, but reasons. So yeah, absolutely. I guess self-awareness, focus on the process rather than the outcomes, and just give yourself some compassion. Allow yourself to just take that time and be kind to yourself. Don't beat yourself up if actually you do procrastinate, because you're going to end up in that cycle of never-ending procrastination and preparing an hour before.
Thank you, Beth, for that. In the next pod or the next audio, we're going to talk about where this leads us on to, which is judgment, and how judgment, whether it's from ourselves or from others, affects our mental states. So until we cover that, thank you for joining me on Talking Flutes this week, and speak to you again soon.
Talking Flutes and Talking Flutes Extra are podcast productions by the Trevor James Flute Company. For more information, visit trevorjamesflutes.com.